Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
Good morning. So, as they said, I'm Pastor Kelly, and I have the privilege of being the children's pastor here. And I'm excited to start off this new series on the Lord's Prayer while Pastor Terry is out of town. But I have to confess something to you. Growing up, I could not have quoted the Lord's Prayer to you. I know, some of you are thinking, like, I had it memorized by age 3. And others of you are probably, like, going through in your head going, do I know the Lord's Prayer? You're cheating? Any of that? So I grew up in a Christian home. Parents Christians, I was pretty much there, like, at church from week one. 3 times a week at least. Whenever the church doors were open, my family was there. I did Bible quizzing, and I did caravans, which is like Awana's, if you're not sure what caravans is. I did Sunday school, all of that, but I could not have told you the Lord's Prayer by memory. And it's not because it wasn't important, and it's not because it was irrelevant. I probably will never know why that was not ingrained in me, but I wonder if it's a couple of things. I wonder if the adults in my life or in my church grew up with it spoken so much that they didn't realize that us kids didn't know it yet. And I also wonder if it's one of those passages that had been repeated so frequently to them that it became overlooked or lost its meaningfulness or it became ordinary. Matthew 6:9 says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or the New Living Translation, which I'll be using today, says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Pray like this. Jesus starts off saying, pray like this. Now, does this mean that we have to say the Lord's Prayer anytime that we pray in church or in private? Is it the ultimate prayer? No. We're going to backtrack a little bit to the reason Jesus was addressing the subject of prayer. Matthew 5 starts with, one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. This begins what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching his disciples and subsequently all the crowds that were around him as well. Anybody who was listening. And then we skip over to chapter 6, verse 5. And he starts with telling the disciples how not to pray. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to the Father in private. See, he goes on in verse 7, and he says, when you pray, don't babble on like the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Jesus was teaching on how to pray when you're alone, having a private conversation with the Father. You see, those in the first part of this verse, this passage, wanted everybody to know that they were praying. Because of this, their prayers were directed to everyone else except for God. They lost the intimacy in the relationship with God. The intent was for people to hear them, not God. Those Jesus was speaking of in the second part just repeated over and over again what they wanted, missing the part of who they were praying to. One commentary put it like this: some people unconsciously repeat the names for deity over and over in public prayer until it becomes annoying. It is unnecessary repetition. Our Heavenly Father knows who we're speaking to, and He knows what we are asking. So we do not need to keep repeating our petitions. They forgot who they were praying to. It became more important for everyone else to hear their prayer than it was to have a private conversation with their Creator. Throughout this morning, I want you to think about one question. Who do you pray to? Our Father in heaven. I find it fascinating that Jesus begins the prayer this way. He doesn't begin with holy. He begins with Father, our Father. He starts this way so that we begin prayer speaking to someone we are in an intimate relationship with. Our Father, our parent, not our earthly parent, but our heavenly parent, the one who created the universe and who created every one of us. Now, some of you may have a very difficult time with the word Father. Maybe you grew up never knowing your dad. Maybe you grew up with a terrible father, and that word brings pain to you. Maybe your dad was there, but was never really there. Or maybe, when you think of the word father, it brings anger, as it reminds you of your own child's absent or abusive father. Maybe you grew up with a really great dad, so the word father itself really doesn't bother you at all. But maybe because of such a great dad, you have trouble remembering there's a difference between your earthly father and your heavenly one. God is our perfect father. I want to tell you about the father, the parent that we have the privilege of praying to. This father, this parent, was there at your birth. This parent witnessed you crawl and take your first steps. This parent was there for every first day of school. This parent was there for every hospital visit, ambulance ride, surgery. This parent was there for every school program, concert, game, play, all of them. This parent was beside you when you're hurting or when you felt all alone. This parent was there for every birthday and graduation. This parent was there for every heartbreak. This parent was there for the birth of your child or your grandchild. This parent was there with every death you grieved. This parent is never too busy to talk to you or to spend time with you. This parent is the only parent who has never needed to apologize to their child and ask for forgiveness. This this parent is the perfect parent, the perfect mother, the perfect father, the one who never abandons you, the one whose love is without condition. This parent is the one who will take you anytime and accepts you just as you are, but loves you way too much to leave you in your brokenness. This parent is the one who you pray to. The perfect, ultimate, loving Father, who can be all of these things only because He is holy. May your name be kept holy. Holy, consecrated or set aside for sacred use, as opposed to pagan or common use. The Greek word for holy in this verse is hagiazo, which translates to the same meaning as sanctify or set apart. Have we forgotten the authority of God's name? That He is set apart. Do we approach prayer as if He were common like ourselves? My grandpa told me a story recently while we were discussing the culture of respect versus disrespect. See, my grandpa was a high school teacher for well over 30 years, and in a small town, so there were several families where he taught multiple generations of that family. And he ran into one such family one day. It was a father and son. Both are grown, and my grandpa had taught them both. So the father greets my grandpa as, "Hello, Mr. Mitchum." And the son greets my grandpa, "Well, hey there, Bill." And the father looks to his son and says something to the effect of, "How can you speak to a teacher by their first name, no matter how long ago they taught you?" My grandpa was not offended, but it did point to a culture shift on how we view authority. The one, the father, would never be able to address my grandpa as Bill. He will always be Mr. Mitchum, out of an ingrained view of respect for the authority in which that very name he uses is of specific importance. The son did not mean any disrespect, but as he grew, the level of authority in the name shrunk in importance until he viewed them on the same level. The more comfortable he became with my grandpa, the more years he knew him, the less authority he gave to Mr. Mitchum until he was just Bill. I believe we make the same mistake when we pray. We grow closer to God and we become more and more familiar with Him over the years. And sometimes we allow the authority of His name to balance to a status equal to our own. We take advantage of the relational aspect of God, the one who loves us and cares for us, who nurtures and provides for us. But we forget that He is holy. His very name is holy. We forget the power of the very beginning of the story that we know in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We get to speak with the creator of the universe. The universe. And then it says a little later, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. We have the honor of speaking to the one who created us. All of us. As amazingly loving and intimate of a relationship with God we are able to have, it should be just as amazing to regard his name as holy. Sanctified, not for use in the most common or ordinary of ways. We need to remember the authority of God. We will never be on the same level as him. In Exodus 3:14, Moses asks God, what is his name? So he can tell the Israelites. And God replies, I am that I am. The Hebrew word for I am is pronounced Hayah. And it's defined as to exist, to be, to become. We were created in his image. We were created by him. By the one who existed. Jesus taught the disciples this model for prayer, not because he wanted it written down as a standard script for us to read, not because he wanted it repeated word for word and memorized every time we prayed. Jesus gave a model that was so simple that anyone can use it. Anyone can pray. But it starts with knowing who you pray to. There's a beautiful quote by Corrie Ten Boom, and it reads, "The wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something, and you enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too great for his almighty power, but nothing is too small for his love." Who do you pray to? God is our perfect parent who asks us to pray to him as such. But he reminds us quickly that he's no ordinary father. He's not even the very best earthly father. He's our holy, heavenly father. The one who should be viewed as perfect, loving, authority, because he's not ordinary. Instead, he is set apart. Who do you pray to? When we posture ourselves before a loving Father that we deem as holy, it changes prayer from speaking with an unfamiliar entity to a powerful exchange that brings about transformation. My friend Becca describes that beautiful exchange with the Father, with I Am, in her book, Can't Steal My Joy. She says, I am fullness complete for you and I. Nothing less and nothing more that we could possibly add. I am wraps up our brokenness and calls it redeemed. Declares victory even as we live in the middle of the battle. For that, we are gifted resolve to keep on keeping on, not in senseless drudgery, but in joyous victory. Becca knows who she prays to. Who do you pray to? My hope for you, my prayer for you and for myself, is that we recognize the love and the holiness of the one to whom you pray. For those of you who got a bulletin, I want you to grab your bulletin and take the insert out. When you look at the first box, it should be holy is your name. And I want you to reflect, think about and reflect on who you pray to and write down in your words the Holy Father that you pray to. Each week we'll be adding to our prayers in those boxes. And each week I want you to take those home. Stick it where you will see it when you are praying. so you remember who you pray to. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for who you are. Help me to recognize how much you love me as your daughter. Help me to run to you to share my excitements. Help us to turn to you for comfort in our brokenness and pain. And guide us in guiding our own children to know that they are part of a much bigger family, that you are the head of their household. Help us to remember your holiness. Help us to come to you in reverence and to remember the power and authority in your very name. Do not let us take for granted the privilege of talking with the Creator of the universe, who chose to create us, who chose to create me in your image. Be with us as we go through our week, that we recognize who you are. In your powerful and holy name, amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.